Welcome to Breakthrough Success. I'm your host, Mark Roberti, the content marketing expert, bringing you 5 new episodes every week where I and top-level guests teach you how to take your business to the next level and achieve your breakthrough. Hello, Breakthrough Success listeners. I just wanted you all to know before the episode actually starts, I've been working a little bit behind the scenes to give you something really special. So a while ago, I wrote my book, Content Marketing Secrets, which helps people create, promote, and optimize their content for growth and revenue. And I just put the finishing touches together to offer that for free to anyone who is interested. So if you want your free copy of Content Marketing Secrets, all you have to do is head over to markgoberti.com/book. Now, let's jump right into the episode. We all have different dreams that we set out to accomplish. And the advice that everyone hears is to dream big. And as you dream big, it's important to never lose your mindset and your belief that you can accomplish that dream. And as we're all pursuing different dreams, I feel like it's really inspirational when we see a big dream come true for someone else, as it is when we accomplish that dream. So in this episode, we are going to talk about how to realize your dreams. And there is a very inspirational dream that's going to be somewhere in this episode. Today's guest is an authority on realizing your dreams. And before he got started into speaking full time and inspiring as many people as he can, he was a high school basketball coach who took a 3 losing varsity programs and turned them into winners in a short period of time. One of those players, J-Mac, had autism and basically Coach Jim was able to put him in the game. This was at a time in 2006, so I was only 8 at that time, but it is a very inspirational story. More details are in his book, A Coach and a Miracle. So I did give Jim away early in the intro, but without any further ado, today's guest for episode 187 of the Breakthrough Success podcast is none other than Jim Johnson. Jim, it is such a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks for having me, Mark. I look forward to talking to you.
Jim, I'm really looking forward to it, and I read your book beforehand, and when all the events that occurred in that book happened and came into fruition and were the spotlight of the world, I was only 8 at that time, so it wasn't something that I was just too young to be following it at the time, so I'm really happy for the experience and being able to interview you today. And before we get started deep into realizing dreams, I'm wondering if you could share with us why you decided to write the book and spread the message about how you're helping dreams come true and just J-Mac's story.
Well, for me, I got a very close relationship with J-Mac, and he was in our basketball program for 3 years. And after he had his extraordinary night where he scored 20 points in less than 4 minutes, including 6 three-pointers, and he ended up winning an SB for the greatest sports moment of the year. And it was that as I went through after that, because I stayed on a coach for another decade, and Jason actually came back and helped me as a volunteer assistant for my last 9 years in coaching. And I just started thinking that with all the challenges in the prevalence now of autism, in fact, when I met Jason back in 2003, it was something like 1 in 150 were diagnosed on the spectrum born in the U.S. Now it's 1 in 68. I'm hearing it's even going lower than that, which is staggering. So I really felt like this was a story that people needed to hear, because all the questions of autism, and certainly people are always looking for answers and how they can be inspired and start to think a little bit bigger. You know, because I'm not one of these people who thinks that you can do anything you want in life. A 7-foot, 280-pound person is not going to be a very good jockey. So I understand that, but I truly believe that all people can do more than they think they can. And that was one of the things that Jason You know, we built a great relationship, and I didn't expect him to score 20 points in less than 4 minutes. But I had a big dream for him, and that was to give him an opportunity to play, and he deserved it. You know, he really gave a lot to our program, came every day, and it was a way that I could give back to him.
I really like that idea of giving back. And I know, like in addition to the speaking, you've also gotten involved with Autism Up, the leading 501c3 autism advocacy organization. I know you get involved in Rochester and surrounding areas with that. So we'll actually include a link in the show notes for anyone who wants to learn more about Autism Up and autism in general. And I know you've coached a lot of teams, the JMAC being like one of the that group of kids was the focus in your book, and like you've coached like so many teams. I'm wondering what exactly makes a team great but also receptive towards one another, so it's not like you have talent but they don't get along.
Right. Well, certainly any team that has success does have some talent. I mean, you don't win without some talent. But certainly I think the difference is the ability as a coach is to develop an atmosphere where you build trust and where people, you're building relationships between coach and player, player and player, and just the whole organization. In building that trust in that each day that you're going to try to get a little bit better, and that there's, you know, certain fundamentals in anything you do. And if you practice those on a regular basis and really focus on trying to get a little bit better each day with the idea that you are working with people. So it's really important that you build relationships. And if you neglect that, that often leads to a bad road as opposed to a positive road. When you get people to believe in each other and building relationships, it's amazing how a team can synchronize and be better than maybe the individual talent. That's why not the team with the most talent always wins, but the team that has talent that works together is usually the champion.
And that theme of building relationships, you like if you do read the book A Coach in Miracles, we'll include that book in the show notes. Like there are a lot of examples where Jim talks about how seriously he took the relationships. I mean, JMAC alone is a really great example of the extent of which Jim has gone deep into those relationships. So he's giving advice, but he's also following that advice. He's doing as he preaches. And since the coaching with the varsity teams, Jim has gone on to do several inspirational leadership keynotes, including a goal-setting workshop. And one of the things that I know you teach people is how to tap into the drive that allows us to be at our best. And for some people, I feel like we all have that drive in us. It's just a matter of getting there. So how do you recommend we tap into that drive?
I think the first thing is you really got to figure out what's your passion. What do you really love to do? And you can have multiple passions, but one of the things when I was coaching is I was working with people, young men in my case, that had a passion for the game of basketball. So we had a similar interest. I love basketball, and most of them love basketball. So I think that's where it starts and spurs. And then secondly is that you really have to give a clear guidance. I call it clarifying your vision in building a team, and so that you were all focused on the same thing. And you brought up goals, and one of the things that really helped us immensely in 2006, that was our first sectional championship, and it was kind of like my 4-minute mile, because once we broke that barrier with JMAC leading the way, we ended up winning 5 more in my career. So the thing I really learned about that is that you're always learning and always growing and trying to get your team a little bit better each day. And when you focus on getting a little bit better each day and building that team cohesiveness on a daily basis, It's amazing the things that you can do. And one of the things we did teach our players, both as individuals and as a team, is how to be an effective goal setter. And I really strive into very deeply in my goal setting workshop. In my two keynotes on leadership and inspiration, I do bring up goal setting and give, of course, being a former teacher, I always give a little homework on my either my workshops or my keynotes. But I believe there's probably no one that I've spoke to that doesn't have heard of goal setting, yet how many people really understand it and practice it on consistency? I found it to be a very small percentage.
And I agree that like goal setting and like it applies to a lot of areas where it's something that a lot of us know about. We know it's important. We know we should be doing it, but there are a small number of people who are actually doing it or who actually know exactly they should be doing in the first place. So when it comes to goal setting, what is the key to like just taking action on it and not just saying, okay, this is something I know I should do, but I'm not doing it?
I think the huge thing is I taught my players and now I teach audiences all over the country is when you think it, ink it. And you can't hit a target you don't hit. So if you write it down, and a couple of little goal setting exercises I do is I share with them that they start with your three most important goals and write those down on index cards. And this is what I instruct them to do. Starting tomorrow, I'll give you tonight to think it over, is I would like you to write out these two statements. I am responsible and I like myself. And then I want you to write out your three most important goals on these index cards. And starting tomorrow morning, I want you to start in front of a mirror and say, I am responsible, I like myself, and your three most important goals. And when you do that, certainly I delve in a little bit deeper of what's a more effective way to writing goals out, but just getting started and writing down. And then another exercise I do is I recommend that you write out your at least three, I try to get to 5 to 10 goals and do that in a spiral notebook each day. And again, it just makes a little discipline what you're doing. And then one last thing is what I call mindstorming is put one of your most important goals up on the top of a piece of paper in a question. So let's say my goal is I want to become a millionaire. And so the way I do that, I'd say, how can I become a millionaire? And then what you have to do is sit and think, which most people won't do. And that's the difference between humans and animals. We have the power to think and to make choices and decisions. And then start to mindstorm with yourself and come up with different ideas that you can take action on. You know, for my illustration, if you want to become financially independent, become a millionaire. Well, one thing is, how can I augment my income? Another thing is, how can I learn how to invest better? How can I learn how to save money better? I mean, those are the ideas. So you got to write down those ideas, and then certainly taking action on the ideas is the most powerful thing.
And I do like how we went back to action because like all those exercises Jim shared are really great. It's just reinforcing your belief that you can accomplish the goal and just putting the goal in focus, because sometimes we get distracted and that's why we forget about goals. But that action is an important theme. And one thing I do want to ask is in your book, you mentioned you have a picture of yourself. This is not a glorious scene, but it's you like stomping around, like that have a frustrated look. And since then, you've changed, then we all do change, but I mean, it's great how you're able to make that transition. I'm wondering, how did you go from that coach in the picture to the coach towards the end of your career and ultimately who you are today?
The thing that I really strived in, and I was fortunately to be more successful in my last decade, is I did a lot of reflecting and a lot of asking myself questions after each season. And when we were falling short in the postseason, it didn't hit me for a long time. You know, I was really driven. I spent a lot of hours at it. But what really the epiphany was when I realized and I looked at that picture, in fact, I had still that picture over my desk here, is that, you know what? In the postseason, I was putting too much stress on myself, which was trickling down to my players. And what I realized is that I had to become the calm in the storm. And that was the biggest thing that I changed, is during that first season when we won in J-Mac senior year, is I became much more calm and confident in the postseason, during games, during practices. And it really made a major difference with how my players responded in pressure situations. And we went from not ever making to even the finals to making 8 finals in my last 11 years and winning 6. So, and I think that's a really important lesson for all of us, is that you always got to keep growing and reflecting and thinking, okay, what am I doing right and what I need to do better?
And I really like how you mentioned how your feelings would trickle down onto the other players. And that is the leadership role of being a coach. Like, players do look up to the coach as a role model, especially when we're talking about high school athletes. And for people listening to this who, I mean, I'm sure not everyone is a high school athlete coach listening to this episode, but you are a leader to some people, and the way you handle certain things, your emotions, your composure, that trickles down to other people. It comes back to the idea that you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with. So pay attention, as Jim said, reflect and think about how you are and like how that trickles down onto others.
For sure.
And one of the things that I also want to ask is, you've seen a lot of people who have that dream of, like, some people it's being on the varsity basketball team, others, like, through your speaking. I'm sure you've had a wide variety of people you met with a wide variety of dreams. So I'm wondering, what do you believe holds most people back from accomplishing their dreams?
I believe it starts with belief in yourself. And to do that, I believe there's a few things you need to do. Number one is you have to, you already mentioned it, but it's such a powerful concept that I want to mention it again, is you really have to think about and understand who are the people that are around you the most, and how are they influencing you? Is it influencing you in a positive way or a negative way? Because if you're around people that are detrimental to you, that really will make you struggle in making your dreams come true. The second thing is I truly believe, as a leader, and because I believe we all have the capability of leading, because the first person you got to lead is yourself, is I believe that you need to have a personal growth plan. I think you have to have an idea each day and ask this question: how can I improve myself today? And, you know, and when you do, I believe that life accumulates. So if you improve yourself a little bit today, a little bit tomorrow, and the next day, that all of a sudden you grow and you become a much better and more confident person. And so I think the two things of who are you associating with, and how are you growing? You know, what are you reading? What are the books that are you feeding your mind? Yeah, if you're old enough to drive, when you're driving around, are you feeding your mind with educational or inspirational, you know, CDs or podcasts in your car? Or are you listening to the news that most likely is negative? So I think, you know, you got to be very conscious of what are you feeding your mind with. And the people that are feeding their mind with good, positive, educational things are the people that are going to believe in themselves and are going to achieve a lot more than they think they can.
And I really like how you mentioned listening to audio content in the car, whether it's a podcast like this one or just audiobooks in general. But I know this may sound like a lazy question in a sense, but how do you get into the habit of just listening to all of the audio content and learning in your car and in other situations instead of turning on the news or listening to the music? And one of the things that you mentioned that was really interesting is how you listen to audio content during your rides. And whether it's a podcast like this one or audiobooks, it's just really important to listen to audio content that's going to empower you versus the news or music, because that's not necessarily going to empower you. And in fact, some of the news and music may even make you feel worse. And I know this may sound like a lazy question, but what do you think we could be doing? And like, how exactly can we get to the point where we are only listening to audio content, like audiobooks and podcasts, that are going to empower us versus news and music?
Well, I mentioned before that it would be a combination of two things. One is that I truly believe you should have a personal growth plan. So what are you doing each day? For example, my personal growth plan is I want to have at least 60 minutes every day where I'm going to feed my mind, whether it's reading, whether it's listening to audio in my car, whether it's on my iPod when I'm out for a run, whatever it happens to be, but I'm whether it's looking at a video on the internet to try to feed my mind. So I think you've got to be conscious of how can I consistently feed my mind in a positive way. And then secondly, that's one of my goals, is that I'm going to have an hour at least every day. And to do that, then I'm deciding, okay, what am I going to do today to feed my mind for at least 60 minutes? And then it's like anything, once you develop a habit, in this case, I believe it's a very good habit, then you're going to start implementing in your life on a consistent basis. And when you do that, then you're going to start to grow on a daily basis. And then that's when you got a chance to turn into something special and make your dreams come true.
And on this common thread of feeding your mind with as much knowledge as possible, during our video interview, I see you have a lot of books behind you, and I'm wondering if you could share with us three books that you believe will have a positive impact on us.
Sure. I'm going to overstep my bounds. I'm going to give you five.
Do it.
Three are real big, famous ones. The one that changed my life dramatically was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Dr. Stephen Covey. In fact, I got a chance to speak at the Franklin Covey Global Summit a few years ago, unfortunately just after Dr. Covey had passed, but that was a real highlight in my speaking career. And that's a really powerful book. The second one is, since I'm so huge into leadership, one of the top leadership people is John Maxwell. And he wrote a book. He's written a number of books. I've read most of his books. But the 21 Infallible Laws of Leadership is just a wonderful read. Gives you great ideas on that. And then a book that I read about a decade ago, and I'm actually rereading. In fact, I do a book recommendation every week. I'm so into reading. Is called The Success Principles by Jack Canfield. And just a really powerful book, over 400 pages, just has all kinds of wonderful ideas that you can implement in your life about all different aspects of success. And then two that aren't quite as well known, although they're both really good books. One was a small book called The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch, that was a Carnegie Mellon instructor that unfortunately had cancer and passed away way too early. But he wrote a book called The Last Lecture. It has a lot of great life tips. And then one more, being a sports guy, I picked this book up a number of years ago. It's called, The Season of Life. And it's written by a guy named Jeffrey Marks. And it's written about a guy named Joe Ehrman that was a former professional football player. And what he does is he's a coach of a high school football team. And it takes you through all the life lessons he shares through coaching. And it's a really powerful story. I found that to be a great, great read. I've read so many. I've read well over 1,000 books. So I could give you all kinds of it, but I know that you don't want to spend the whole time just me listing books. So, but those are some of my favorites.
Well, thank you, Jim, for sharing those great book recommendations. And those will be at markgaberti.com/E187. The show notes for this episode also include a content marketing book there for anyone who wants to grow their revenue and drive more traffic to their content. And Jim, I'm wondering, you've shared with us how you learn some of the book recommendations, but I'm wondering also if you could share with us one big challenge you faced in your journey and a powerful lesson you learned during that challenge.
Well, for me, because I was so into coaching, my biggest challenge is, unfortunately, in the coaching profession, like a lot of professions, you're measured by your bottom line result. And although our teams were winning consistently, we were winning regular season titles, we were falling short in our sectional tournament, which is really big in our area. My teams played in Section 5. And what I really learned was we kept losing. And I mentioned this before, but the thing I'm proud of is I never gave up. I think that's the most important key is perseverance. That what I believe is finding a way. And my journey never stopped. I continue to try to grow. I continue to reflect after each season. I talked to numerous coaches to try to figure out what I was doing right, what was I doing wrong, talking to my players, getting feedback from them. And finally, it hit me that, as I mentioned earlier, that I was not being a strong enough role model during the postseason, that I was getting too stressed. I was losing control, and that was reflecting on my team. And when I made that change, then it was dramatic because all of a sudden that now my teams in close games were winning instead of finding ways to lose. So I think the most important aspect out of that story is the fact that you just have to never give up on your dreams. If it's really important to you, that perseverance, finding a way and continuing through adversity is hugely important. And I don't know of anyone that I've ever studied or know personally that's had a lot of success that doesn't have that trait.
And we're all constantly learning based on our past actions, based on our past results. And it is interesting you bring up that idea again of how your mindset, in a sense, influenced the outcome. And once you were more calm and confident, you were able to get a lot more wins in the postseason and get a few titles as well. And one of the things that I want to ask, this is a question that I tend to ask everyone on the show, but I've asked you several questions throughout our time together, but what do you believe is one question we need to be asking ourselves more often?
Can I give you two?
Yeah, I mean, more the merrier.
The first one is, I truly believe you have to figure out why you were put on this earth. So I think that's a great question to ask yourself is why were you put on this earth? In fact, in my talks, I talk about understanding your personal mission statement. And I often ask my audiences, how many of you have a personal mission statement written down? And it's almost no one. And I think that's the power, like when we talked about goal setting, is having the idea of what are you all about? And when I figured that out, my leadership style improved immensely. And my mission is to be an outstanding role model that makes a positive difference in the world by helping others make their dreams come true. And if you break that down, when I really improved was because I really focused on those things. Am I being a positive role model? Am I making a difference in helping others make their dreams come true? And when I really started to focus on what my purpose is, why would I was put on this earth, it changed my life dramatically for the positive. My second question is one that I think we all got to think about is, what is your definition of success? And I believe for each person, that's different. And I don't believe there's one answer to that. I think it's something you have to figure out. And the two things that are important in my definition is, am I serving others? And am I continuing to grow? And if I'm growing a little bit each day and I'm finding ways to serve others, then I felt like I've been successful. If I haven't, then I don't feel like I have success. But for each person, that's different. But I think if you can answer those two questions, why will you put on this earth and put it in writing, your personal mission statement, and what is your definition of success, and try to live those two, I truly believe your life is going to explode in a positive way.
Jim, thank you for sharing those great questions with us and all of your great insights throughout our time together. Don't forget again to pick up Jim's book, A Coach and a Miracle. And you can also go to Jim's website as well. All of that will be in the show notes. And Jim, again, I can't thank you enough for sharing all of your great insights with us. And it was such a pleasure to have you on Breakthrough Success.
Thank you, Mark. It was a pleasure to meet you. And I hope we get a chance to meet in person someday.
How does over 100 retweets per day sound to you? My free ebook, 27 Ways to Get More Retweets on Twitter, has you covered. I use the methods within this ebook to get over 10,000 retweets every single quarter. To learn